Orioles have the 19th, 30th, 31st, 37th pick. For instance, Keith Law, The Athletic, has the Orioles taking Gavin Fine, shortstop out of, let's see, where is he from there? He is from California. Born in 07. Holy mackerel.
And you're saying, you were shaking your head at 93 here a second
93,
ago, Bob.
I know, 93. I was living in New Orleans getting drunk all the time. Unlike Baltimore, of course.
Of course.
But you've got a philosophy on drafting pitchers out of need. We need pitchers. Go out there and get us some, Mike Elias.
Right, and that's kind of the camp I was in to start, you know. And we hear it a lot from callers, texters, us here on the show. Look, this is a dire need. We need to address it now. You've got to build up this farm system in terms of the pitching side of things. But the more I think about it, and baseball and the draft in particular, just take the best player available at every pick. Don't chase positions. Don't chase needs. This is simply about acquiring ammo. And it sort of goes along the lines of what Jacob Calvin-Meyer was telling us earlier, that his initial reaction to the Baker trade was, a draft pick? Really? How's that going to help you? But then even hearing Elias yesterday, well, sure, we could draft a guy at 37, develop him for 2-3 years, and he helps us then. Or that guy could be a part of a package for a winner trade. It's ammo nonetheless. Whether you deal with it 3 years from now or you deal with it in 3 months, it's still an asset at your disposal. I want the best assets possible. And Ryan's absolutely right in saying that this team doesn't have the best track record when it comes to developing pitching. Wouldn't it be more wise then to try to go after, even if it's going to cost you something, the more proven commodity who doesn't need that extra training?
Yeah, you don't want to have a guy come in that still needs to learn. You want to have a guy that has a pretty good idea of what he's doing, and then if he needs to learn more, everything's in the big leagues. Like, that's why I brought up Mitch Keller a second ago, where, you know, off air, looked it up, 3.58 ERA this year. That's 35th best in baseball. And if we want to play this game for a second, because I put out a tweet last week saying that I believe that Dean Kramer has a higher ceiling than people want to admit. Now, ceiling doesn't mean that he's a top three, top two, or ace pitcher. Ceiling is talking about potential. And when you watch Dean Kramer pitch, Dean has a lot of starts. I think it was like 5 or 6 starts where he's gone 6 innings or so and given up 2 earned runs or less. But it's the consistency level, right, with guys. Mitch Keller right now is 3-10 with a 3.58 ERA. So don't look at the wins and losses. And in previous years, he had a 4.25 ERA, 4.21 ERA, and a 3.91 in 2022. And actually, if you want to go look Dean Kramer's numbers up, pretty similar when you look at where those numbers actually are. But 35th in ERA, getting back to that point real quickly, 30 teams in Major League Baseball, right? I'm not losing my... I know, Bob, you're bad at math. No one, right? There's 30.
Correct.
Yeah. I can count.
Yeah. So each staff then has 5 guys in a rotation. That's 150 pitchers, right? If I'm doing my math right here.
Roughly, yep.
So Mitch Keller is 35th in team ERA. So with that average right there, what? He would be considered a top two type of arm in everyone's rotation if you're averaging it across. He's the 35th best ERA out of 150 starting spots, right? Like, that's really good. And for Baltimore, the only reason I make that point is you got to look at your system. Do you have guys right there that have the upside of a Keller, even a Dean, like I said? And the answer right now is no. I love Brandon Young. I think he's got a chance here. And I loved what he did last start. Chase McDermott's hurt again.
Yeah, elbow.
Right?
Was pitching well. Got pulled yesterday.
And so who else do they have? In all honesty, who else is the guy?
Well, also, I think you have to look at what does Mike Elias do well. And for all the complaints about him, and we hear a lot of them on the station, the one thing you can say that he does well is draft, especially with early picks. Mm-hmm. So I don't care who he's got his eye on. I'll default to him in that situation. I'll trust his judgment when it comes to the draft. What he does after that, very suspect. But right now we need to stack ammo, and I trust him to stack some ammo. He's got a bit of a hoarding problem when it comes to the ammo. He doesn't like to shoot the bullets.
Yeah.
But he can acquire them. And I don't know if Mike Elias himself is even going to be here in 2-3 years. So let's just keep the job simple. acquire ammo. You can do that well. What happens down the road happens down the road. But let's start here.
Kyler McDaniel, who we've had on the show many times, ESPN.com. Two-round mock draft, which means the Orioles' four picks are in this.
Mm-hmm.
Number 19, Aloy, the shortstop out of Arkansas. Number 30, we got Nyans, third baseman, high school kid out of Washington, who had been linked to the Orioles at 31, mm-hmm. or at 19, rather. Andrew Fisher, third baseman out of Tennessee at 31. And then 37, another high school shortstop, Dax Kilby out of Georgia.
So I sat down this past week with Keith Law and Jim Callis, you know, two guys, the guys that follow prospects and the draft very closely. And both of them said they don't expect to see the Orioles take a pitcher with the 19th overall pick because best available, Nolan, to your point. And I'm with you. Take who's the best available on your board at that time. Now, with those picks, though, is there an upside pitcher that you like, that you really like, and you want to take a chance on? Because this would be the opportunity to do that. And to take one more, take this step one step further, I guess I should say, Nolan, what you've said. Mike Elias, they evaluate the talent very well. They really do. But when you're talking about making a move, it's two ways. You got to make a move or you got to commit to who you have moving forward. And it's kind of been stuck in the mud in some of those cases, right? Like, I don't expect this, but the Kobe Mayo situation for me is still fascinating. And I got a clip with Ryan O'Hearn talking about how important it was for him to play more each day. You got to find out with Kobe, because if not, Kobe has value to go out and go somewhere else and bring you something that you need. But you can't have it one way or the other. And that's kind of how I feel that Birdland overall, Bob, and you've mentioned, they just want to know which direction we're going to go with some of these young guys that we know have talent, but we don't know how good they're going to be.
But at some point in this year's draft, and it might not be with the first four picks, they also have the Orioles here in the 50s taking yet another up-the-middle guy, Mason Neville. This is Kyler McDaniel, number 58 out of Oregon. High school guy that might develop a little Scooble action. I mean, you can't. Scooble's kind of what Tom Brady was. You know what I mean? Sixth-round pick, became the greatest of all time. Now, Scooble was a ninth-round pick for the Tigers, who's become, you know, arguably one of the five best pitchers in baseball and is dealing like that again this year. But maybe not at 19, and it doesn't look like there's a high school guy that would be, you know, prudent at that spot. But you know, get someone throws a bazillion. Get yourself a Tanner Scott, for instance, and try to harness that like the Duquette era did a few years back.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is for the draft in general, as much as we say about evaluating talent, it is unpredictable. We talk about baseball being unpredictable. The draft is unpredictable. Why were there so many rounds? It's because you don't know who's exactly going to pan out. Now, if you are a higher round pick, the averages are a little more in your favor. You're a first round pick, well, there's a lot more expectations for you to pan out and be that type of guy. But I think, and I understand, because of how volatile the pitching injuries have become for pitchers, going out and getting known commodities is not a bad play, but you have to execute that more and more. They did it last year for 1 year of Corbin Burns. Question is, can you get another guy like that for more than just one season?
Ripping it with Ryan. We'll come back. American League East report. Talk about what happened yesterday in the division. Good news down in Birdland. Sweeping the Mets. Yankees came from behind to beat the Mariners. Stunned the Mariners, quite frankly. We'll look at today's schedule. We'll look at the standings. Funhouse Trip. Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. Live from Pickles Pub. And then coming up at 6, me, Jim Hunter, and landlord Tim Barbalay is going to be running the show. There's engineering fun. We're going to have some fun. Last homestand before the All-Star break. Come on down and say hello, and don't come empty-handed.